Hello everyone and welcome to the Athlete Tribe podcast. I'm your host Lee Eldridge. In this podcast we'll be talking to elite coaches, practitioners, athletes and high achievers about how to improve performance. We'll be covering topics such as training, improving your sport, work and overall life. I hope you enjoy the show today. Please feel free to leave a review. Hi guys, today we're joined by Claire Stadler from Beyond Instinct. Hi Claire, great to meet you. I know Claire from a long, long time ago and was an amazing person to work with individually and also to help me with my coaching and all that's gone on from that point. What I'd like you to do, Claire, is just give us a quick introduction about yourself and what you're currently doing and all your aspects.
Thank you, Lee. Nice to be here. Where do I start? I work with elite athletes and leaders and help them go beyond instinct. And what I mean by that is the things that help us do what we do really well or not so well are the things that we do under pressure without thinking. So I work in the world of performance. I work in trauma. I've done some therapy work as well. And I've been doing it for around about 22 years now. Worked in rugby, worked in football, worked with swimming, and some more extreme sports like wakeboarding. I've also worked with some very senior leaders in very big blue chip companies and some entrepreneurs as well. And then I have a private practice working with people with anxiety-based disorders and phobias. Yeah. And stress comes up a lot.
Yeah, so as Claire pointed out, what we're going to do is we're going to have a series of talks, but this talk is going to be around the area of stress. So what do we, or what should we understand by the term stress?
My take on it is stress is our response to the construction inside of our head of the world around us rather than what's actually going on around us. And I think there's a really important distinction to be made between pressure and our response, which may be stressful.
Okay. And in terms of your experience working with elite athletes and high-performing business individuals, do you feel their stress responses are the same, or is it very much your environment and how that happens to you?
I think you can interpret it both ways. The things that stress us are very individualistic. When you look at the neurobiological response, it's more generalized. So we all mobilize, our systems mobilize in a very similar way, depending on whether it's perceived as good stress or bad stress, if that's the label you want to put on it. The things that cause people to stress and feel uncomfortable or fearful or anxious, whilst there may be some common threads, like, oh, I don't want to get it wrong, fear of failure, that kind of thing, it's very personal. And I think that's sometimes where people fall into the trap of, well, if I do this ritual or if I do this exercise, I'll be fine. But one size doesn't fit all. We're very individual. We're all unique in our own way.
Because that leads on nicely to, especially across all platforms, there's this idea of stress tolerance or mental resilience and how people can go about improving their resilience or coping with stress better. And you've just touched on that maybe there are some things that we can do to help us prepare for stressful situations or when stressful situations are put on us. What kind of things can we do and how does that differ from a workplace environment to a home place environment to maybe a sporting environment?
It's a good question. I think generally there's this concept, certainly if you come to the therapeutic world, of regulation, this idea of being able to trigger the buttons and levers in your nervous system to get your neurobiology to work for you rather than against you. And there are definitely some key points of understanding for people to be able to calm down, to demobilize, or to become more energized and mobilized depending on the situation. What that what triggers that is often unique to the person and can differ from circumstance to circumstance. But I think it's this interesting idea of interpretation of context, because in some respects, taking your first free kick for England is no different to the first time you present to the board. The triggers are usually something around fear of not performing or something in the environment that causes you to think that might not happen. And the mechanisms are very similar, but what's fit for purpose in that environment depends very much on the context and the people who are experiencing it. So if you're taking your child to preschool for the first time, how you might manage that stress, that separation, that attachment might be very different to the first time you ran out onto the pitch to represent your country. And sometimes it's more about what the people are comfortable with and understanding what their own system is doing, rather than, oh, I'm stressed, I'm anxious. If I do this off the shelf process, it will fix it. It will make me feel better. I think there's a certain amount of needing it to be very bespoke. The interventions have got to be bespoke, I think, and very individual.
So would you say that's then down to practice and trying lots of different things to really kind of support that, or to de-stress, or to be able to tolerate high stress in performance environments?
I think tolerance, it depends what you interpret by tolerance. If by tolerance we mean I feel rubbish but I can still do it, that's one thing. If by tolerance you mean your capacity to be under pressure or in uncertainty and still perform well and not feel stressed, that to me is a very different thing. And I think that links to a concept of resilience, which to my mind can sometimes be misinterpreted. People tend to regard resilience or stress tolerance as the ability to kind of push through, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the emotions. When you look at the research, we know that pushing aside emotions doesn't actually make a physical difference to what your body's doing. It doesn't reduce the blood flow in the amygdala, whereas acknowledging those emotions and what you're feeling and actually being able to do something with them, to express them in a way that's appropriate in the context, does reduce the blood flow in the amygdala, does have a huge impact on your neurobiology, and therefore allows you to be able to perform under pressure where maybe you otherwise wouldn't. So yes, I think it's important to be curious. Yes, I think it's really important to try out these different tools and techniques to work out what works best for you. And there's also a component of what baggage are you bringing with you from the past, and how is that triggering you? And therefore, how does that maybe impact on what tools and techniques you might draw on, and at what point you need help to go further to resolve the situation?
Okay, because that's quite an interesting point, because I'd imagine a lot of the environments you worked in are quite alpha male driven, whereby actually becoming aware of your emotions and expressing your emotions could be seen as maybe a disadvantage. And it might not be a disadvantage, but it's just something that is already kind of a stereotypical, you know, coming from a rugby background, I don't think there were many guys really expressing their emotions. Well, apart from losing, that was a big emotion that a lot of guys were able to express, but not kind of obviously deeper understanding of their emotions.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think it goes back to people's perceptions of what we mean by when we say acknowledge and express those emotions. You know, the typical scenario tends to be, oh, well, the wheels will come off and I'll fall apart and everybody will think I'm a wuss. And that isn't necessarily the case, because it's just because you acknowledge those emotions doesn't necessarily mean you have to express them externally in an atypical way, which is not macho, you know, not alpha male. And I think the interesting thing often in rugby and other sports as well, when you get that back chat, when you get that verbal challenge, people often talk about how that spurs them on and pushes their buttons to do well. Neurobiologically, it may not necessarily be doing the same thing. And I think the perception of how people cope or tolerate stress is sometimes misinterpreted.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course. Because I think that stress has maybe a negative connotation, but I see it as hugely positive in the right dose at the right time, especially from a performance point of view, that how you get yourself into the right state or peak performance state. And would you agree with that or would you disagree? Because before we jumped on, we kind of had a little bit of a chat about whether stress is positive or negative, and you said something quite interesting.
We did, yes. I think there is this perception stress is bad. You know, a lot of people know a little bit about fight or flight. Oh, well, that means that your prefrontal cortex isn't accessible in the same way. You can't think properly. You freeze. And those things are true. But I think it depends what you mean by stress. And I tend to think more about, less about stress and more about mobilization. And mobilization either in the presence of what might make us feel safe or not. And I think that has a big difference, has a big impact on how we respond to that, because too much, too soon, too fast, stress, pressure in that sense can cause trauma and absolutely is not good for us. And too much stress, chronic stress, actually damages and annihilates the very brain cells that we need and the neuron networks that we need to function well. So yes, stress can be bad. But stress can also interpret, you know, stress in the form that's often talked about in elite sports of say eustress can be perceived as good because it's just enough mobilization to take us forward. And when you look at, you know, look at the research that the Flow Collective is doing, there's this figure bandied about of, you know, 4%. If it's 4% more, it's enough. But how do you measure that 4%? And how does that vary from athlete to athlete or leader to leader? Because you put two people in the same situation and they'll respond differently. So yeah, for me, it's less about, well, is it stress as in stress as a global concept, and more about what's your actual body doing? What's your neurobiology doing? Are you mobilized? Are you mobilizing in the presence of safety? You know, this is your however many, you know, tenth competition, you're up, you're ready, you're in the zone, you're in flow, and your body is energized and ready. That could be interpreted as good stress. Or are you petrified because you've not done this before and you don't feel safe? And I think that brings up another interesting concept of when we talk about safety and psychological safety, there's this general perception that it's a cognitive thing, it's something that we're conscious of.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. This is something that your body responds to, and then you get the memo 10 minutes down the line or 5 minutes down the line when you start to feel what's going on in the body. Okay. So I think it depends how we interpret it.
No, it's just interesting to go back to that point about stress tolerance, and that, as you've just said rightly, that people take on more and more and more things to do, and that stress actually becomes negative. Because if I went back and, you know, you think about mental resilience, obviously, for example, special forces is a huge one whereby, you know, it's to block out, you know, the physical barriers, you know, the mental pressures that's going on to get the job done. Interesting to say, you know, that actually too much stress, however we are able to tolerate it, is not good for us in the long run from a chronic.
Definitely not. And there's the research to back that up. I think it goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of our perception of those outside pressures and how we construct our interpretation of the world, our perception of the world, and how we respond to that construction. So special forces is a great example of being able to focus and shift your attention according to the environment, which I think is another component of what we might call tolerance or resilience in the face of pressure. And those guys do that so well. Part of it's training and part of it is, I think, the selection process actually identifies those people that are naturally able to do that, and then they train them better, give them other skills to do that. Because perception of pressure often leads to focusing attention on things or dividing attention on things that are not, they're not in line with the goal that you're wanting to achieve. So if you're taking a free kick and you're worrying about missing it and the implications of that, and you're making internal constructions of that, that then part of your energy is divided. Your focus of attention not only has an impact on your ability to think clearly, it has a physical impact on how your body responds to the pressure and the physical demands of what's required of it. But it's a very subtle shift, and it's one that most people aren't aware of until, in my experience, until we start working together, because they begin to realize all of this is happening so fast, they're not aware of how their attention is divided. They're just aware of the mobilization in their body, and they may interpret that as positive or not, depending on the context. Because we know that now. We know that we label emotions and physical experiences according to the context, not according to the internal experience.
Okay.
So butterflies in the stomach on a roller coaster might be excitement. It's your first time swimming the relay at the Olympics, might be interpreted as something else. And then that perception causes us to not be in the present moment, which means we can't respond. So we're either catastrophizing about the future, about what might happen, or thinking, oh God, this is like before. And our attention is anywhere but in the present, which means our tolerance to respond to that pressure becomes compromised. But again, it's not the outside environment that compromises that, in my opinion. It's how we interpret that, and how we interpret that affects our neurobiology and our neurochemistry, which means then that we're not able to perform in the way that we want to, or we are able to perform better than we expected.
Wow. Okay. Excellent. And last thing, where can people go and find out about more what you're doing and all the things that you're involved with?
They can come to my website, beyondinstinct.com. They can drop me a line, claire@beyondinstinct.com. And shortly, hopefully I'll be on Instagram, but we'll see.
Hopefully so. Excellent. So thanks again. You know, it's been excellent and super interesting.
That's it for this episode. We'd like to thank Claire for taking her time out again. We hope you enjoyed it and found it interesting about stress and understanding it. Join in next time for more information, more tips and tricks. We'd love you to leave any feedback, comment, subscribe, and like the podcast.